All right, here we are, Wednesday after Jubilee. Everybody's still having their own jubilation. Revitalization. Guess that's the goal, huh? Miss Glenda, you threw me off sitting over there. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Anything to stimulate my mind and get me thinking a little faster and a little fresher is good. But anyway, so good to see everybody tonight. And we have been, I don't know, y'all been enjoying this cooler weather? I knew we'd get half and half. I enjoy it to a certain extent. And then when it just prolongs and prolongs and prolongs and never warms up, then I start looking forward to when the Lord turns the thermostat up a little bit. But I do like cool weather. I like it in the mornings during my meditation time, along with some hot coffee. And then, so it's a good time. It's a good time. Whatever the weather is, it's we can find a way to still have a good time. But everybody been having a good week? Yes. All right. Well, that's good. And again, just coming out of Jubilee, I hope everybody had a great time. Did you enjoy Sunday night? The table talk, I guess I called it. Walking around, letting people speak. I got home and I told Christy, I said, I kind of felt like I was on a talk show, kind of just walking around and handing the microphone around. So many of them growing up, talk shows I can remember, Ricky Lake and all the rest. That's an old one, isn't it? Said that, I don't know, I don't even know how that popped in my head. It just did. But anyway, that goes back a long time for me. But it was a great time. I enjoyed Sunday night. I enjoyed Sunday morning talking about the tongue. And here we are Wednesday and battling our way through the week and almost the weekend. So, It can. It can be a good thing and it can be what you want it to be. Let's dive into our request tonight. Continue to remember our children's home staff and the children. Brother Snyder's, he continues to get better. Miss Mary Ann, believe you'll be going next Wednesday. It is going to be your knee operation. And so let's remember Miss Mary Ann. And let's remember, while we still have it on the list, Miss Helen Bennett and her recovery of her hernia operation. Trill Norton, his sister's heart. James and Shirley Townsend, Leonard Dolores Palmer, Brother Harold Dolph, the Rich family. Let's remember Bobby and Nancy McClendon tonight and in our prayers. She's trying to get regulated on some blood pressure medicine. So those on blood pressure medicine or medication at all knows what kind of struggle that can be to get regulated. So they're watching tonight, so we love you, Miss Nancy and Brother Bobby. Praying for y'all. And Bobby is not feeling well, so we're praying for both of you guys tonight. All right, Richard Martin, Shauna Bendy, and Michael Bendy, Miss Claudia Darby, Randy and Diane Ely, the Dalys, the Ashworths, Rusty and Chris Watkins, or the Watkins, Melissa Slagle, Barbara Anderson, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, all of our shut-ins, the McCrickards, Joyce Manning, and then those serving in the military, James Tolan Brown, Peyton Cochran, and then Kevin Brook at Champion Christian College. Is there any updates, any prayer requests?
Mother and I went to see Miss Barbara yesterday.
Did you? Okay.
And I left there really concerned. She's going downhill.
Is she?
I think she knew who we were.
Yeah.
She didn't know what church we were from.
Mm.
And she was hoping, she said it was her
She has certainly been hanging in there, hasn't she?
So if you get a chance to go, please.
Yeah.
She's thrilled to death to have someone.
Sure. Bless you for doing that, and thank you for the report on her. Anyone else? Ms. Cassie?
I talked to Ms. Helen today.
Oh.
She went back to the doctors and they found two more hernias.
Wow.
She said that they did some kind of a spray thing or something, but she goes back in a week or two. But she said that they thought that they had got all of them, but she said she got her staples up.
Wow, that's a lot. We will certainly continue to pray for Ms. Helen, and thank you for the update. Yes, yeah, we do. I spoke with her, but. And her mother. Thank you for bringing that up, Ms. Sharon. I had texted with Ms. Tracy probably right before Jubilee. Yeah. Yes. Brother Jeff. Yeah. Jar down. Would this in limbo? And what would this involve? What part of her body?
The heart.
The heart. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Let's see. All right, anyone else? Son? Okay. Anyone else? Let's pray for our youth downstairs. You can hear them moving around.
That's a good sound.
That is a good sound when you hear the young people. All right. Well, if that's all we have, we will all meet and pray. And then Brother Jeff looks like he has a song picked out. Looking forward to that. And then we'll bring the lesson tonight. So all that would meet us in the altar for a time of prayer together. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Faithful to sing for us every Wednesday. And what a blessing that is. Do our best to bring them in. All right. I want to look at something over in the book of Genesis tonight. Genesis chapter 17. If you would. Genesis 17. And I'm going to be looking at something here tonight. Genesis 17. I want to ask you a question as we get ready to read in just a moment. Has anybody ever received silent treatment from someone? Someone who just wouldn't speak with you. I mean, they're just quiet. And maybe I'm talking a little bit different than the tongue subject, but for instance, your mate or someone you lived with, a family member, they're just not speaking to you, you know. This doesn't have to go on for a long period of time, for a few minutes, few hours, or a few days, but they're silent. And really, there's a few reasons why they're silent, I believe. Either they're mad, they're sad, or they're glad. And they're just either so mad they're not talking to anybody in the house, they're so sad they're not talking to anyone, or they're just so glad they're getting ready to let you know what is just so great going on. Of course, it could be just something that they're thinking about as well, and they're just kind of just on lockdown. They're just not talking. Well, in Genesis 17, in verse number 1, we see a conversation that the Lord had with Abraham. In chapter 16, in verse 16, going into chapter 17, verse 1, there was this silent period where the Lord wasn't speaking to Abraham. You've heard this, I'm sure, before. I've taught out of this before. It's been some time ago. But if you notice in chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible says, "And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram." And so Abram was 86 years old at this point. Chapter 17 in verse 1 says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and be thou perfect." And so some 13 years had elapsed, and the Lord hadn't said anything to Abram. The title of the lesson tonight is When God Seems Silent. When the Lord Seems Silent. Like the illustration I gave you a moment ago, if we all got home after church, me and Christy and Lily, and neither girls was talking to me, I mean, that would be troublesome to me. Why aren't y'all speaking to me? And they're just walking. Number one, I would know something's wrong, okay? I know how to read them. I would know something's wrong. And I would give them a time limit to tell me what's going on. Because, okay, I have a go-to spot whenever things get heated at home, and y'all don't look at me that way. Y'all's household, same thing happens. We're all human. I live about 3 miles from a Food Depot, and sometimes I get in the car and I go to the Food Depot parking lot, and I sit and I listen to the radio, and then I go home. Don't be shocked by knowing that. Hey, sometimes I gotta cool off. Sometimes things at home have to cool off. When you have a teenager and you pastor in a church, and you know your spouse works full time. When you have a family, things happen. And so sometimes I go to Food Depot. She knows where to find me. And she'll just pull up right next to me and say, Justin, get to the house. But anyway, so going home tonight, if no one's speaking, something's happening. Something has happened, whether it's someone is mad, sad, or glad, or they're thinking about something. Something's happened. Well, in like manner tonight, when we think about the Lord, sometimes it seems like, I made sure I put the word seems in there, because sometimes it seems like that God isn't speaking. We get used to Jubilee. We get used to these big preachers coming in here. Big preachers, big name preachers, we like to call them. And really, we're all equals. But they come in here and they preach up a storm, and we get excited, and people come to the altar, and some get saved, and Christians get revived. And that's right, Hassan got saved. And all of these things. And then here we are. It's Wednesday after. This time last week, Josh Agin was preaching up a storm. And his choir, which had mostly men in it, which was amazing, never seen that before, was singing powerfully. And here we are. And sometimes it just seems like God is silent. But the same God that was here last Wednesday night is here tonight. And there's other times in life when we're just living and we're breathing and we're going through our daily routines, and we don't feel that warm and fuzzy feeling we associate with when God is doing something great. Things just seem regular. Things seem just stale. Sometimes even just so hardcore routine and so mundane that we're almost through with it all, we feel like, on the inside. Could God be silent for a reason? Yes, I would say yes. God does seemingly get silent for a reason. There's many stories you can look at in the Bible. Sometimes God gets silent so that he can give us opportunity to respond to silence. And, you know, people act one way when someone's always speaking. But then when they get silent, people act another way. Sometimes it's opportunity to walk before God in obedience, even though he is silent. So what can we see from this one verse tonight? That's all I want to look at, is this one verse when it comes to God getting silent, when God seems silent. Well, in verse number 1 of chapter 17, we see the silence broke. The silence broke. Abram was 99 years old when the Lord broke the silence. Notice what it says. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to him, or appeared to Abram, and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. How about that? The silence was broke. Again, there were 13 years when the Lord stopped speaking to Abraham. And when you go back and you read chapter 16, you'll find out. And God said unto Abram, chapter 14, the same thing. And God said unto Abram, the Lord is speaking to him and speaking to him. But then we get to the end of chapter 16 and there's no voice. There's no voice. Things are silent. And then the silence is broke. And he says in chapter 17, verse 1, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Those are big words to break the silence with. Now, what was Abraham doing in the meantime? That's the question I want to impose upon you tonight. What was Abraham doing when God was silent? What was he doing? Well, if you look back in chapter 16, we see that the last recorded activity of Abraham had to do with utter failure. It had to do with failure. We know in chapter number 16 that Sarah and Abraham, were promised a seed, was promised a son, and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. They're now up in age, and so they're getting nervous. And there's another woman here involved. There's Hagar, and we know that Sarah called for Hagar. And there was this plan that was devised, and what happened? The plan backfired. Abraham and Sarah got ahead of God. And we know that there was Ishmael in the picture now. And Ishmael here is fair to say that he is a picture of the flesh. Ishmael is. Ishmael was the problematic child here and still is. If you trace back the ancestry, even to this day, there's problems over there in that country. And so we see that there was Abraham and Sarah who got ahead of God. If you look in verse number 5 of chapter 16, and Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And so there's this harshness going on. There's this time of failure going on, getting ahead of God. The Bible says that the child is going to come from Sarah's own womb, going to come from Abraham and Sarah, not from another. And so they knew that, and they grew impatient, and they got ahead of God, and there was failure because of that. And then God was silent for 13 years. So what was Abraham doing? I like to think that Abraham was reflecting. God was speaking to Abraham, chapter 13, 14, 15, since the day he got saved. And then when this thing happened, there was silence. I like to think he was reflecting. You remember in the New Testament when Peter denied the Lord and three times, and then he went and wept bitterly? He had a time of reflection, of failure. And so I like to think that he is reflecting over his time of failure. Maybe he is rehearsing things he should have done better. Maybe he's saying to himself and talking to his wife, as a married couple, if the Lord has made us a promise, then we're going to just trust him with that. We're not making any rash decisions anymore. We're going to stick it out with the Lord. We're going to wait on him. If something like this presents itself in the future, we're going to do this and we're not going to do that. So maybe they were planning as a couple. They were reflecting as a couple. One good thing there is to do when we may think that God is silent in our life is to have a time of self-reflection. Just self-reflect. And that was one of the reasons for Jubilee. It's a time of self-reflection. And I'm sure there were some that were here that felt like the Lord hadn't been speaking to them in their life, and they know they're saved, but yet they come to the Jubilee meetings so that they could possibly hear from God. And so let those silent times tonight be times of reflection. Am I where I need to be with the Lord? Do I sense the Lord still working in my life? And we know he's always working and always moving. But there can be times of offense. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. There can be things that we do that offends him. There can be some things that we don't do that we should have done that offends him. And it's not that we're to live a perfect life, but we are to strive to be better. And so during silent times in our life where we feel like God is silent, let us just self-reflect. Am I reading my Bible like I should? Am I praying like I should? When we read the Bible, God's speaking. And when we pray to him, we're talking to him, and there's this communication going on. So one way to know why isn't God speaking is if we're not reading our Bible. That is the first way of knowing. It's because we're not opening the book. Because he's always speaking. Anywhere you turn, there's God speaking. But then there's the speaking to our spirits, where we feel the urges and desires on the inside of us to serve Him and do certain things. Whenever that's absent, those urges and desires, let us have a time of self-reflection. But we see the silence broke, and it was 13 years of silence. Let me mention something else. Not only the silence broke when God seemed silent, but we see the Supreme One spoke when God seemed silent. So He finally spoke. What did He say? Well, notice what He says in verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Notice that first phrase, what He says. And He said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Those words, the first letter in Almighty God of each word is capitalized. And if you go back and you look up the Hebrew meaning of the words Almighty God, it is El Shaddai is the name here for Almighty God. El Shaddai. What does El Shaddai mean? El Shaddai means all-powerful one. It means omnipotent one, which omnipotent means powerful or has all power. It means all-sufficient one. So the first thing that He said to Abram when he broke the silence was, Abram, I'm the Almighty God. And think about what that meant to the heart and mind of Abram, who has been self-reflecting for 13 years, who has been thinking about the things he could have done different, would do different, and plan to do different. And the Lord breaks the silence and says, I am the Almighty God, Abram. I am El Shaddai. I have all power. Number one, I would feel, well, He has all power. He's all sufficient. So I'm going to, and if He says I'm going to have a son, I'm going to wait on Him since He has all power. Sometimes in life when we seem that God is silenced, there comes a time where God will break that silence. And He will show Himself mighty to you once again. And not that He has to prove it. He's already wrote it out in Scripture that He is all powerful. He's the omnipotent one. He proved it upon the cross and then the resurrection. But also there's times in life when the Lord breaks the silence. He breaks the dry seasons and He allows a little life to come up in our life. He sends a little breeze our way, a little spiritual breeze that we know that it's only Him that could do that. I like to think that the Lord broke the silence here at Calvary. Not that God's Word hasn't been preached and taught each and every week, but, I mean, three souls saved. That's amazing. Three souls saved. That is God showing up, showing His power. And so if I was Abraham, after 13 years of not hearing from God, and He shows up, and He says, I am Almighty God, I have all power, that would be like the ultimate faith increase, right? Lord, I hadn't heard from you in so long. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for what I did. I didn't trust you like I should have. Oh, Lord, I haven't heard from you so long and so long. It's so great to hear from you. Yes, you have all power. I like what I'm feeling right now, Lord. I remember when you saved me in the Ur of the Chaldees and called me out of that place. And I remember following you and building altars unto you. Lord, I remember you speaking to me on which directions to take in my life and which way to go and what to do. And Lord, it was just so lonely in those 13 years, but it's so great to hear from you again. The Lord does that from time to time in our lives. He breaks the silence. Sometimes silence is needful for us. I got to thinking about, excuse me, my relationship with Lily. And from birth till now, I've spoiled her. Her mother and I, we have spoiled her, probably me a little more. I don't know. It's just something about moms and daughters versus dads and daughters. Christy spoils her rotten too. But there's just something different about a daddy and a daughter. You know, anytime she, "Dad, I'm in school," and she'll go and grab her cell phone. "My lunch account is, today we're bringing the negatives. I need some more money on my lunch account, Dad, please." And, oh, at the drop of a hat, I mean, I punch it in. There's a certain SLA management debit card, $20-$30, put it on there. She's good for a week or two. You know, and just doing for her and seeing for her. Her mom is the same way. Please don't get me wrong. You do understand there's a difference here. If there was a little boy, if Lily had a brother, I guarantee you, I'll probably be a little more hard on him. And Christy would be a little, "Oh, don't you get on to Junior. Don't you get on to Junior." If she didn't, if Christy didn't stop me, we were going to name Lily Justine. But, you know, she is getting older. And I'm watching her being able to do for herself in a lot of things. And there's times where I want to intervene, Brother Jeff. And there's times where I want to just lay it out for her so she don't even have to think about it. She can just enjoy herself and Daddy has her back. I have to, on purpose, stand back and allow her to feel her way through. Some of you know about her this year in school and then even last year. Daddy wanted to intervene a whole lot, and Daddy did intervene a whole lot. But what I'm learning is there's some times where I have to lay back and let her lean upon what she's been taught. And there's times where I pick her up from school and she said, "Dad, I remember you said this," and I did that. I said, "What happened?" She said, "It worked." She said it wasn't easy, but it worked. And so, in like manner, in our relationship with the Lord, He walks with us, He talks with us, He provides for us. But there are times where He is seemingly silent. Somewhere in the shadow is Jesus standing there watching His children trying to learn how to walk, trying to learn how to deal with things, trying to learn how to get a prayer through. Somewhere in the shadows, Jesus is watching His children sow those warm tears of hope and to sow those warm tears of sadness unto Him as they pray. Jesus is watching us do that, and He is wanting us to grow in Him and learn how to lean on Him. And I think it's working. I can say it's working in my life. I can see it working in your life. Whether you realize it or not, I've seen y'all grow spiritually too since I've been here. You realize that? That's neat, isn't it? It's really neat. And I hope you've seen that I have as well. But there's times of silence. God was silent for 13 years. I don't know exactly what Abraham did, but I do know this. When the Lord finally spoke, it broke the silence and said, "I am Almighty God," it was enough said. "Okay, Lord, You're Almighty God. You're all sufficient." And so we see the Supreme One spoke. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3, "And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him." How about that? He hasn't heard from him in so long. And then when he did, he just fell over on his face. Of course, my mind is kind of cartoonish. And I'm thinking he just like, God spoke, and Abraham literally just fell over on his face. But really, as you know, it was more of a getting on the knees, getting on the face, and just showing obeisance, showing humility, being thankful that he even spoke to you again after the fault that he did. The Bible says, "And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him." And the conversation is recorded here in chapter 17, if you want to go back and read it later. He reaffirms his covenant to him. Abraham, I know you messed up, but my plan is still in place. I know you got ahead of me, but my plan is still in place. You cannot deter my plan. It may prolong it or postpone my plan for a while, because we certainly know that we can get off track tonight. And God will use what he has to for his ultimate plan to be fulfilled. But in Abraham's life here, God is talking with him and saying, look, Abraham, I'm giving you a second chance. Giving you a second chance. And chapter 17 speaks of that second chance. Thank God for his second chances. And third chances and fourth chances and fifth and sixth. You know, as far as we can count, thank God for his other opportunities to get it right. While we're here, I do find something kind of funny. Funny but not funny, if that makes sense. Verse 3, he fell on his face, and he got up, and he fell back on his face again. But look at verse 17. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, that is 99 years old, bear? And Abram said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. How about that? So he fell on his face the first time, and I'm sure that was out of humility. Oh, thank God. But then he heard the Lord reaffirm, reestablish that covenant with him that he will have a son that will eventually be the Savior of the world. And then he fell on his face again and he laughed. He just couldn't comprehend it. So it shows us that even though he went through those silent years, his faith still needed to be worked on. And while we look at these great patriarchs in the Bible, patriarchs in the Bible still have failures. And I thank God tonight that we have a book that not only shows the success of the men and women whom God used, but it also shows the failures of the men and women God used. Abraham said in verse 18, he says, Ishmael's the one, Ishmael's the one. Verse number 19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. That word indeed is important. Not only did he say that she's going to be the one who's going to bear your son, but she's going to bear your son indeed. Indeed is the cherry on top. Indeed is the period at the end of the sentence. Indeed is the exclamation point. If I say that after church, I'm going home and I'm going to eat supper, that's one thing. Okay, Justin's going home to eat supper. But if I say after church, I'm going home and eating supper indeed. There's a little excitement to supper tonight. That means I got something special at the house that I want to eat when I get home. It adds to the flow of the promise. It says, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. Chapter 18, verse 12, Sarah laughs. And so the couple still needs work, even at their age. And tonight, just let it be said and let it be known. You already know, but I will reaffirm, we never stop growing spiritually. Whether we're young, middle-aged, or older, there's always room to grow. And we see that in the life of Abraham and Sarah. But he did fall on his face the first time. And I believe that was out of reverence and respect. Verse number 3, chapter 17. And God spoke with him and gave him a second chance. So we see the Supreme One spoke. And he said he was Almighty God. And then lastly, we see a simple word was given. Or the simple word was given. What did he say after I am the Almighty God? What was the instructions? Was it 3 pages long? No. It was one phrase. Walk before me and be thou perfect. it's almost like the Lord said, boy, you get in front of me. I got to keep an eye on you. Walk before me and be perfect. Perfect not meaning without sin, as you know, but mature, abound, grow. He's saying, walk before me. The simple word was just to keep walking with me, but nothing hidden. Out in the open, in front of me. Live that kind of life, Abraham. No halfway faith, but all faith. No plan B, but sticking with plan A. Sink or swim. And we know that even later on, after Isaac is born, Genesis chapter 22, God challenges him again. Now, Abraham, the seed that I promised you, I want you to offer him up for a sacrifice. Was God contradicting himself? He promised something, now he wants to take it back. There are times where it seems as God is contradicting himself, but he's not. Because we know in Genesis 22, God had a sacrifice, a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And ultimately, Isaac's life was spared. It was another test of his faith. But the simple word that was given was to just keep walking with the Lord. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Grow, mature, abound. Simple instructions. It's almost like the Lord is saying, walk before me. I want to keep my eye on you and I will tell you when to turn. Walk before me, Abraham. I will, when you hear me say, turn, turn. And when I tell you to turn, I'll tell you to turn left, I'll tell you to turn right. Abraham, when I say stop, you may not, you're definitely not going to see me, but you're going to hear me, and I'll say stop. No man's seen God at any time, although there is pre-appearances of Jesus, so that's a whole other lesson. I'll tell you to stop, I'll tell you to go, I'll tell you to turn. Just walk before me and do what's right. And so that was the simple word that was given when God seemed silent. The word was to just keep moving forward. The Supreme One spoke, and he said, I'm the Almighty God. I'm El Shaddai. I'm all powerful. I will supply. Back in chapter 15, I believe it was. I'll just give it to you right quick. Chapter 15, verse 1. The Lord says, I am thy shield. He says, I'll protect you, but you gotta be with me in order for me to protect you. You gotta walk with me in order for me to protect you. And so we see that he is the Almighty One. He is the Supreme One who spoke. And then we see that the silence was broke, but it took 13 years. And again, that's just my speculation of what he was doing within those 13 years. Was reflecting, was trying to just move ahead while God wasn't speaking, trying to glean from what he had learned from the Lord in times gone by. And we continue to read the story of Abraham, and we find out that Abraham, he fulfilled his mission. He died of a good old age, I believe the Bible says. Good old age, that's significant. Some died at a good old age. But that's the message tonight. That's the lesson when God seems silent. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for all things, God. Thank you for the lesson tonight. Lord, sometimes you speak the loudest when things are silent. And Lord, if you're not speaking, maybe we should do what the Bible says and be silent with you. Be silent with you. Be silent with you so that maybe we can hear you. We know you speak through your word, but there's times when you speak to our spirits. And that's what we miss when we don't feel like that's happened in a while. That closeness with our Creator, which is a real thing. There are some feelings involved. But Father, help us not to live our life based on feelings. When you're near, we're grateful. When it seems like you're far away, Lord, we're still grateful, for the Bible says that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You're always here. And so, Lord, help us take in this lesson tonight about Abram and Sarah and those silent years, and just be grateful and thankful that you chose to speak to them again. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anything to mention tonight before we conclude service? All right. Well, thank you for being here. Everybody have a great evening. And everybody have a great weekend. Be safe.